precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. And would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I said there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Precious blood of the Lamb.
Hey man, I believe it today, don't you? Let's all stand. We'll change orders of service. I told this morning, but I'm going to tell it since everybody's back in here. We've been back 5 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but I thank the Lord for it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. For I want to see you. I want to see you.
How do you
want to
see
you? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
See the Lord.
Amen.
So just look into His Word.
Amen.
We have a pair of glasses up here that maybe somebody left. Kind of, they got some, see the backside of it, anyhow. Stripes on it. Maybe somebody's found them around here. Boy's laughing. It must be Janet's. Yeah, take them back there if you would. Yeah, they can't see what they are. Oh, they need glasses to find out if they're your glasses. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Amen. That'd be pretty good to need glasses to see glasses. Sister Gail, where's yours? On your head. Amen. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody. Just remember to pray for everyone. Remember the Lincoln Barner family. Brother Lincoln Barner passed away this past week. And so just remember the family there and all that the Lord would be with them. Remember, the Bible study now will not be this coming Saturday because of the wedding and things. So it'll be on the second Saturday. Do everybody understand? 6 o'clock, second Saturday. We're still on like justification, sanctification. So just come and be with us and remember these. Remember, the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday in November. It'll be down at Brother Tony Abner, not Tony Abner, Tony. You bold. I can't never get his name correct. Amen. You just think people don't pay attention to what you're saying. I got a little email. I talked to a sister on the phone the other day. She was talking to Wade to make sure she got it. She's She's been listening in from India, and she's telling how that she's enjoyed the message, and it's really helping her, and she's been through a good many of the series the way she sounds, and this is the way she says it. She said, "You may be an old, hateful, arrogant, intelligent dude." Well, that's what I've always said I was. You know. She said, "I love you in the Lord, and you're a very precious gift." So that's at least they people are listening. Old, arrogant, hateful dude. I like that, dude. You know, I didn't know they talked that way in India. But we had a long conversation on the phone the other night. She had talked with Wade, and you'd be surprised how many people are actually viewing the services around the world. And that's the purpose of what we're trying to do. So we thank the Lord for it. If you'd like turning to your scriptures, turn where we've been reading, Revelations 1, and we'll be reading from Revelation 6. I don't think there's any other announcements. The arts have done taking care of all of it. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for Calvary. Thank you for peace and joy. Thank you for all things. And you said you give them to us freely, so we don't even have to do anything to get it. It's just a gift that you pass down unto us. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we pray that you would bless each one. Be with those that are not with us today and just touch each one. Remember the sick among us. You said it. Lord, you said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. So we just commit everything into your hands. As we try to speak about you, you come on the scene and speak to our hearts. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelations 1. We've been on this for quite a while, of Revelations 1, but we just use a secondary scripture. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." What? Time to understand. Amen. Now we go to Revelation 6. We'll pick up verse 5 and 6. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we're trying to study these things and, you know, to try to see our day and our time that we're dwelling upon the earth. And the main thing, and I'll repeat this in a minute because I want you to get it, we're not talking about these things to just look back and see what was. I'm wanting you and I to see what's taking place now in our day, in our time, because to preach about what it was back there is just a story, you know, just a thought or an idea. And you know, it can be true, and I'm sure it is, but we want to get it down to the day that we're living. Amen. See, the prophet preached a message one time, recognizing your day and its message. Well, it's not only just recognizing the day and the hour that the prophet was to come upon the earth and bring a message, but to recognize your day. That's what I've tried to get you to see. The book of Revelations is written to you because the things that are happening in from Revelation 6:1 on through, you know, is not concerned with the bride. It's to Israel. But we look at that and we see what will happen there. And then we see what's happening now. Because what happens there has its beginning here. Are you listening? That's the main thing I want you to see. Whatever would happen, it'll have its beginning somewhere. That's like in Genesis. Everything begins in Genesis, all right? And then it comes down to this day. Any doctrine, any idea, any thought, you can go back to Genesis with it.
Right.
All right, then you can take the seals, and one of them will tie the entire Bible together, the prophet said. All right, then we can go back through the Bible and see the day that we're living.
Right.
It's fine to look back and see what somebody else done. Like Wade was saying one time, you know, he's preaching about Abraham. He said, well, wait a minute, I'm not just talking about Abraham. See, it's our journey. It's our doing. It's right here now. There's no need it's just stories to tell about somebody else. But when you experience it yourself, you live through it, then you can see, you know, your day and its time and who you are. It's not going to put us in the rapture to know the Bible. Now listen to what I'm saying. Even to know the letter of the Bible, that we could read it, that we could memorize it, to be able to quote every verse in the Bible, that's not going to put us in the rapture. It's when the word is revealed. See, Luther preached, no telling how many sermons on maybe a topic called "The Just Shall Live by Faith," because he preached the Bible, and surely he preached a lot of things. But see, one day it was quickened. And when it was quickened, he was not afraid. See, maybe what he was seeing, because a lot of uprisings had come back in that time, and people were trying to protest the Catholic Church and things under control. And, you know, they'd be afraid. Kind of like the apostles were when they were gathered in the upper room. They had the letter of the word, right? They had walked with the Lord Jesus, but they were scared to death. But when the Holy Ghost came, it took away their fear. See, it made something personal. See, when Martin Luther, when it was revealed to him then, and came off the pages into his heart and his soul of being, of the just shall live by faith, then he was not afraid of the world. He said, let them know that I'm against them. You know, he didn't have no problems with being scared about being excommunicated. Because you know what that means to a Catholic. As I was saying the other day, you know, we think about, and see, bring that down to where we're at.
All right.
That we think about, you know, that, well, we've got to stay in the Catholic Church because Mama is still in purgatory. And we ain't got her out yet. So we got to pay her out, you know. And then, honey, maybe we'll think about leaving once we get Mama and Grandma and Grandpa all out of purgatory. Well, see, we would laugh about that. But have you ever talked to people that said, well, if the Baptist was good enough for Mama, it's good enough for me. I'll stay here because Mama was a good Baptist. Well, that's good. Mama was a good Baptist. Probably might have been a good Christian. But what has that got to do with me and you? You know what? What has it got to do with you and I about anybody else? Christianity is not based upon you and somebody else. It's based upon Jesus Christ and Him alone.
I mean,
what everybody else is great. I love my mother. She raised all of us. You know, could have adopted us all out and got rid of us, 9 of us. And she could have thrown us all away, but she chose to raise us after Daddy died. Well, I love her and appreciate her. But you know, I'm not going to stay. I couldn't stay where Mama had went. When the word was revealed, I had to move on. I've told you, my brother came out. He said, where are you going? I said, I don't know, but I can't stay here. He said, well, if you want a church, we'll build you one. I said, that's not what it is. He said, I've got to find my own way. I've got to walk in whatever's leading me and giving me understanding. I don't have anything against anybody. Like I said, about my own people, but yet they're so tied up in their church.
See?
Until they think the church is going to take them. Well, that's the deception I'm trying to get you to see. That's the things that we're trying to go through to get us to see here. Why we are like we are. Why is it that we're odd and different? Well, you're just a bunch of people who's got another cult. We're called a cult. And I don't mind saying it. Probably about 75% of the people of this message are a cult.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm against them.
Amen.
So then I just talk plain, okay? Because I don't build it up to say, oh, we're the only one. We're this. No. The truth is the only one.
Amen. Right.
All right. So we got to do something about the truth.
Amen.
The Bible says you shall know the truth, not know about truth.
Right.
You shall know the. Notice that the means singular. It was John the Baptist, meant it was just one. If it was saying John the Baptist, then you could have had a whole lot of them. But when it said John the Baptist, it was Lord the Christ. There's only one. All right. So then looking at the word and seeing it and trying to follow it down to where we're at, let's find our day. Let's search our hearts. You know, you don't know you've got to err until truth is made known.
Right.
I was in the Baptist church for a long time, deacon for about 5 years or more. I don't really remember. You know, I believe they were right. I knew they had a lot of problems, yeah. But I still believe the word, I thought. But one day I found out that that wasn't exactly it. They had truth, but I wanted the truth.
Right.
See, then I wanted to read the word for myself. Now what somebody else says, read it for myself and see what it says. All right. Now, in the opening of these seals that we're talking about, the preaching of what we're doing, to kind of back up and review up to where we are. See, we saw the first seal when it broke. A white horse rider. There was a rider and a white horse. He had a bow and no arrows. A crown was given to him later. All right. See, that Antichrist system, because that's who that was. That was the Antichrist that little John spoke of when he called it the Antichrist. An Antichrist system is just a little sayings, little doctrines, little thoughts. And I told you when we went back to Genesis with it that there Abel was. He tried to tell Cain the truth. How many years? Don't know, because they were offering sacrifices, so that meant they had to be on up to adulthood, ever what you want to call it. And Cain, he was trying to tell Abel what the truth was, he thought. And that's what caused him to come up with a doctrine. And he went from a doctrine to a basis that he become incarnate with his doctrine. And he wouldn't believe what Abel was saying. So he killed Abel. So then the white horse, he was the Antichrist riding out through the deception. All right. Second seal, we saw that it was a red horse. Same rider, but a red horse.
Amen.
And it was given unto him to make war and to do things and to kill with a sword. We can see that that's been all the way through the Bible, because that's what it was talking about. That's where Cain didn't kill Abel. All right. Now watch it when we get into this one, that it winds up being a black horse. If I don't get back to it, just watch Cain. See, a curse was put on Cain. Not to make him black. That wasn't a curse. That would have been done away at the flood. See? But it was a curse that was put on him. The mark of the beast was put on him.
Amen.
A darkness was put upon the heart of Cain.
Amen.
God even told Cain in person, said, if you would have done what your brother done, you would have been accepted. Is that what the Bible says?
Right.
But instead, a darkness came upon him. Blackness. And he was never converted. He would never have anything to do with it, and it become a battle ever since. See, you say, but Brother Dale, you're talking about good people. Cain was a good man. You know, he wasn't a murderer. Abel was a murderer, right? Come on, Abel killed an animal to take his place. Cain was a good guy out working himself to death. See? But that wasn't what God said. He said it was blood. We see, the world is full of good people. Good religious people. Just like it was there when Jesus came on the earth. Was there anything that Jesus could say about those Pharisees about what, how they were keeping the law? No. But he was just trying to tell them that they couldn't see past their end of their nose. You remember the only trouble that God had with Job? You remember the thing that Job's problem? Job said, I've offered what God said for me to offer. But he thought the offering of the animal made him right. When it was not the offering of the animal, that was just the commandment to give.
Right.
It was a believing in God.
Right.
The problem with Job was he didn't put everything into God.
Right.
He put it in, I've done it. And he had. You remember? And the three guys kept talking to him, but finally Elihu, got answered, which was God to him. He said, you wanted to talk to me, and I'm down here now to talk to you. And he said, all that I see wrong with you, he said, you're just a little self-righteous. He's self-righteous, and he thought that what he'd done was right, and it was. Now, the Pharisees were self-righteous, right? But Jesus said, unless you exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you won't enter heaven. Right? They were righteous. They were perfect. You couldn't put a finger on them. Because if you could, they would have killed them. But yet they rejected God when he stood there. Could we do the same today? See, by accepting, you're just trying to live the word to the letter. We can be a Pharisee.
Right.
An actor. See, I want to be a Christian, don't you?
Amen.
That's the whole of the Bible. What are the seals, the plagues, the vials, the things we talk about? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right? But where's he at now? He's in you and I.
Amen.
We're not talking about a historical God of 2,000 years ago that walked the shores of Galilee. We're talking about the God that we claim to have within us in the new birth and to walk therein. See, so it went from what? An antichrist? This is a little saying. It went down from that to a false prophet. Paul dealt with them while he was here. Paul didn't call it Antichrist because he'd never been to Patmos back. John had. But Paul would call it grievous wolves. False prophets. Because by the time of Paul, that's what it had become. Men teaching perverse things like Philetus and Hymenaeus, ever how you pronounce them, teaching that the resurrection was past. Well, see, Paul was teaching the resurrection was past. But his was a spiritual resurrection and a new birth into the heart of man. They were teaching the physical resurrection had already transpired. Well, Paul could have simply said, well, show them to me. But instead of arguing with them, he just committed them to the devil. Let him take care of it. Right. You see the simplicity of the opening of the word. See, this Antichrist, this first seal, he had a bow and no arrows. Very innocent, very almost seemingly powerless. And you know that a doctrine or an idea is powerless until other people join together with you? But by the time it came into the second seal, see, a crown was given him in the first. What? A triple ruling crown. They made a pope. When they made a pope out of the man, see, they elected the head bishop. You know, they had all of them and they wanted a head. Kind of like Israel, right? Israel had a prophet. But why did they want a king? Right? You see, it's all the way through the Bible. Why did they want a king? We want to be like everybody else. So they said, we want a leader over all of us. So they elected a pope. As I told you, he didn't start out a bad guy. It took many years before a lot of their doctrines came into view and they started killing. It came on way on over in time before the killing started of the second seal. All right. Now we read here in the third that it's coming down to a dark time. Now, what I want you to think about today, if you don't get nothing out of the message, get one thing. We were, to illustrate it, I went with Josh and him. You know, I may be a dotty old granddaddy, but a dude. But I went with Josh one time on a tour of McMinnville, where all the caves are at. Well, you know, if you turned out all these lights in here, you'd say it's dark, but it's really not. Have you ever been somewhere where it was just, you seem like, as the old saying, you couldn't even see your finger before your nose? So they were down there, and they got us all together in one place, and they said, all right, everybody turn off the flashlights. And they turned off, and that guy had a big old lantern thing, and he turned that thing off, and you're talking about black. Now, if you'd have said, go north, I'd ask you which way it was. South or up or down or whatever. It was black. Right. Yeah. No hopes. Where we were at, there was no hopes of finding our way out. They claim that's what a lot of the cave dwellers done, you know. The guys that go back in them, they back in the old days had pine knots and stuff. And they'd drop them or lose it, and they just go haywire and kill herself or fall off of a hole. And because it's dark. Now that's what we want to think about today. What would be the blackest of blackness you could think of? I'm asking you for your definition. Brother Branham preached a little message one time. You remember, it was his first one. He thought he'd done a good job. I think he did, but anyhow, you remember he preached it. Started preaching about hell. And he preached it. There wasn't no mama there. There was no daddy there. There was no God there. He thought he'd done a good job. I say, I think he did. Because it got a point to me. What is darkness? Okay. Most of you are whispering it out, so whatever it is, what? It's an absence of light. Now, no matter how dark it was down in that hole, if we'd had even just one little of those lights that you, pointers, you know, one of these little bitty lights here, it would have been like a great luminous light to your eyes underground. But what about when you can't even find nothing? The prophet said the reason it was sad for hell, he said, because God wasn't there. You talk about something is when Cain himself turned, the Bible said, and walked away from the presence of the Lord. How dark is darkness? How great is darkness? What about someone who becomes so one with a doctrinal issue,
right,
until you won't hear truth?
Right.
You say, oh, but if it's presented right. Don't you think Jesus presented it right to the Pharisees and Sadducees? Don't you think so? I mean, if you're not, you're going to argue with God about the way to do things. I think he done a marvelous job presenting the sweet, soft to them. Sure, at times he had to say things. But what could he have said at the other things? Darkness and blackness of Cain to go away from the presence of God. Sure, still have 20/20 vision. But seal yourself away, because that's what I want you to watch today. A darkness. Because that's what this third seal is. It's a dark horse. Now you remember what we were covering, how we've been through it. It's the same rider on each horse. Because that rider starts out as an antichrist spirit, which we'll find out this afternoon was already death anyway. But it wasn't called that. That antichrist spirit, he was Satan, and the children of disobedience, that Paul would say, deceiving the world, deceived it so much until when he got off of that white horse, he got on the red one. And the same people that had accepted that antichrist thought wound up killing people. Now, if you don't agree with that, get Fox's Book of Martyrs and just see what all of the historians said about it. That's what gets me. See, the people can come along now and they can say, well, we've wrong, maybe the way we've done things, or let's all be good brothers. No. But you know, there's an old story said, if a snake bites you once, it's a snake's fault.
That's right.
It bites you twice, it's yours.
Amen.
Right? But you see, he got off of that white horse, got on the red one, and started killing. Where have they ever apologized? See, if they apologized for the 68 million on their own record and say they was wrong, they would be saying that 68 million were not going to heaven. Think about it. They can't deny their own records. They made their own records if they'd killed 68 million. Because remember, the St. Augustine wrote the decree. What? It was better to serve God by force than to not serve him at all. So they killed 68 million. So they're never going to apologize for killing all those people. He said, but Brother Dale, that was back yonder. That was back yonder. We're all different now. We are. I thought the same old people. I didn't know the world had a conversion and made everybody a Christian. Did you? I thought it was still that same thing. But you see, church, what I've tried to get you to see is just like I did there Wednesday. A lot of you have left churches and come here, and you know what they said when you left. You've left the Word. You're out from under the blood. That happened with Brother Richard and him years ago when that situation had happened back there. And they've come down here. I immediately called him up to the front. If any of you desire it, I'd be glad to do it at the end of the service. I brought Brother Richard and his family up to the front. And I said, I know what they've done. They said you left the Word and you're out under the blood. So we'll just put you under the blood of this church. And I mean it. I mean it now. If any of you think that some of those churches back there you've been in, you know, think that you're in bad shape because you left them, well, we'll just have a committal after the service here today, and you just come up and we'll just put you under the blood here. I think you already are if you're saying this is your church home, but I mean, if you need it, that's what we'll do. Because, see, I know what those little deceiving demons do. They talk to you. Like I've always said, you come to church, you come to the Sunday morning, and the devil tells you you're feeling too bad. You just don't need to go this morning. Just wait and go this evening. Has that ever happened? It only happens to me every Sunday morning. Okay. So what do you do? He said, okay, I do. I feel bad. I'm not going today. So you're sitting there pity-pattering in your little petted ways and saying, well, you know, I didn't need to go because I feel bad. Kind of like the old two men sitting out on the creek bank fishing. They heard the bell ringing of the church, and one of them said, well, you know, we already went to church today. The other one said, I couldn't go because my wife was sick. But just about the time that you look at your watch and it's 10 o'clock, that old demon don't say no more that you were sick. He'll say, see there, you ain't a Christian. If you was a Christian, you'd have went. Come on, he don't talk to you that way. Said you could have went. You wasn't that sick. So you ain't going to win. The best way to deal with the devil is get up and leave him. I don't care which wife or husband that you call in the devil either. Get up and leave him. Go on. Move on with God. Oh, I want to be a good little wife or a good little husband. Well, you can die and go to hell and be that way too. I know I'm an old hateful dude. But is it the truth? See, church, what is a darkness? Brother Branham tried to talk to that girl one time about her salvation. The next time he seen her, she offered him a drink or a smoke or something. You know, she said, I could see my mother's soul frying in hell and life at her. said that's how bad it's got, Brother Branham. Now, I'm not talking about back there. There was a dark age. We'll get to it in a little bit. The Middle Age, the prophet calls it. Tatira. A dark age. You look at your church ages, it was drawn out by the Holy Spirit, and you'll see in that dark age the light was just almost gone. Just a little bit of light. Why? Because of what the church had done. The thing that was supposed to be the Savior, the church, became the crucifiers. Right? Who was it? Some of them down through the ages there. They killed a man because he believed in one God. I've never understood that. I'm as honest as I can be. I've never understood mankind. How that you could nail up, you could take a man and put him and tie him to a post and build a fire around him and then turn around with a cross in your hand and say, deny that God. And the man looks at you and said, I believe in Jesus. Who do you believe in? I believe in Jesus too. But I'm going to kill you because you believe in Jesus, because you won't accept Mary as the mother of God. Isn't that something? To kill? But what about a darkness? I look around at this message, people, and I see people that they're gone into darkness because they will not in no way accept truth. Come on. They haven't changed. Truth is supposed to change us. Okay. Amen. Bringing it down to our day. See that Antichrist? He had a bow and no arrows. Just a teaching. Just a doctrine. He was given a crown and become a pope. And he went forth killing the people to make them serve God. Isn't that something? In other words, if he wrote a decree, well, let's kill everybody that ain't a Catholic. That wouldn't have went over.
Right.
But look how it looked. Don't you think it's better to make people serve God than to let them die and go to hell? What do you mean? Who are you? You think you don't want people to go to heaven? We've given you a way to do it. You kill them. You say, yeah, but we wouldn't back there. We don't know. There's plenty of books. Go ahead and read. If you can stomach and read Fox's Book of Martyrs all the way through, in one day, you surely got, you surely got a good stomach. I ain't never been able to make it through. Cut babies out of mama's stomach and throw them to pigs to eat. All in the name of religion. Strap them down with an ox pulling one way and one pulling the other way and just rip them to pieces. If you're going to kill, at least do it sensibly and nice. You know, cut the guy's throat. You know, that's the easiest way to kill somebody. They say on this side over here, the big vein, you just whack that one and you're dead. At least be humane. I was reading one time about taking a metal chair and building a fire under it. Taking people's clothes off, women, and take their clothes off and strip them down and pouring stuff all over them. This is Fox's Book of Martyrs. And take them and make them sit down on that red hot chair. Yeah. But those brother Dale, they're good people. Well, okay. What about it? So let's start reading just a little bit. Now, we've read these, a lot of these. I'm giving them over to you. We'll keep on giving them over to you, too, because I want you to get the point. What I want you to see, if nothing else, is see the same rider riding on the same horse. And remember, the horse doesn't stop. The rider gets off the white horse, gets on the red one. The prophet said that white horse goes all the way and strikes eternity. That Antichrist spirit is still here now. The same one that started in Genesis is still here deceiving. The horse don't stop. It just keeps on going. The red horse, he rides it, gets off the red, gets on the back. The red one just rides right on. The black, the pale, it's the same rider, Satan. He said, you're against them people, them good people. I'm not against nobody. I'm against the devil and his control that he had upon mankind through religion. We didn't come here for freedom of religion. America wasn't established on freedom of religion. It was established on freedom from religion. We came here to get away from religion. But yet the things that bound there come right on over and binding here. But now it's done through, as I said, we laugh at the Catholics saying we're going to pray my grandma out of purgatory. But then we come up to say, well, I go to church in the Baptist, Methodist, whatever, because mama went. It's good enough for mama, it's good enough for me. You think we still don't have that same ideas that they had? The Catholics will tell you, give me a child that's 5 years old, and it'll always remain a Catholic. That's how staunch they believe. I say the new birth will change it, but see, they're putting it on the basis that the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal can't change it. I mean, that's, come on. But you see, church, the Antichrist is still deceiving. And you know where he's at? In the pulpit. Who do you think has got all this started and brought it to pass? The preachers. Yeah. Well, how do we know whether you're right or not? Well, what does the Word say? That's all I got to say about it. I ain't going to argue with you about whether I know I'm a dotty old aggravating dude. But there's one thing about it, you know I don't try to pull nothing over on you either. I tell you like it is. Then you're going to have to face God for the way it is. If not, you come and show me in the Bible where I'm off. I'll be glad to tack a sign right up here that I'm a false prophet. Show it to the world on the biggest internet system can be found. If you can show me in the Word where I'm wrong. But I want to be right. Well, let's start out and just get some things. Because we've tried to keep this point before you. See, God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But Satan, you got to have Antichrist, false prophet, incarnate false prophet, is the best way of saying it, Pope, and then the beast. All right? Now, keeping those things before us to where we'll understand it. You remember Joel says the cankerworm, palmworm, locust, and the caterpillar. All right? That's the same thing as your. Because what is a cankerworm, palmworm, locust? It's four stages of one bug, right? Right. The bug goes through the cocoon. He comes out of this. He winds up being a butterfly. He winds up being this. And, you know, and then he just goes right back and makes his circle again. Because that's his stages. It's the same old bug. Well, that's the way it is with Satan. He couldn't start out in that first church and say, I'm going to take the place of God. No, that wouldn't work. But he's got to get the people to believe in.
Right.
Now, the Catholics don't believe, now listen, that the Pope is God. You know, the God of heaven. They believe that he's instead of God, or in God's stead, or in the place of God.
Right.
I'm not throwing off on them, I'm just telling their doctrine, right? They believe that he is taking the place of God. And if God has to transmit down something to earth, he can use the Pope to do it. And he's elected, you know, like I said Wednesday. You elect God. All those bishops and things, and they ain't just one guy running. They have a whole bunch of them. And then they elect who's going to be the one that God can come down and incarnate. But it's the same stage.
Right.
See, cankerworm, palmworm, locust, caterpillar, restoration of the bride tree. But what does God do? Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then the Word.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. See, so he's fighting. There's four horse riders in the book of Revelation, one through the first through the fourth seal. There's a horse rider on each one. But there's also a combat beast.
Amen. Sir.
On each one. That says, come and see.
Amen.
All right. Now, so look at it. Pull it back up, brother. No. Go back to number one. We didn't get through it. Right. He said, I want you to notice the four, the mathematics. What? First, Antichrist, white. Second, false prophet, red. Third, vicar of heavens and earth and purgatory, black. That's what we're going to get on to today. And the fourth is the beast, pale horse, Satan being kicked out. Now, that beast can't be until Satan is kicked out of heaven. Now, if you think Daniel 70 weeks ain't important, Brother Brown says you can't understand the seals unless you understand Daniel 70 weeks. Okay. Now, if you'll go to that book, you'll find that he explains Revelations 12 in the Daniel 70 weeks book. That's one of the things you can't understand. So you see now where you'd be. See, this last one is going to be this evening. We get to it. He's going to be kicked out of heaven.
Amen. Amen.
But you know, the Bible says right now he can go before God. Come on, the book of Job, read it.
Right.
Said, where have you been? He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth. He's talking to God. The devil is. And you know, a lot of times I can't get an audience with God, but the devil can sit up there and talk to him. You know, that ought to make us all upset. But instead of being upset, I know what he's doing. He's using that old boy. He's using him to bring me. He used that old boy to bring Job down. And get Job down to where he would get out of his own self-righteousness and look up to God. So, Satan, you just keep on talking to him. Tell him all about how this hateful, arrogant old dude... Just tell him all about me, how bad I am. But you see, one day he's going to be cast out. Well, you know what's going to cause him to be cast out? Well, that's this afternoon. When the bride goes up, he's cast out. See, when we go up, he can't stay. I love that. He ain't going to be able to stay up there when me and you are there. It won't work. But you see what I'm talking about? First, Antichrist, white. Second, false prophet, red. Third, vicars of heaven, earth, and purgatory. Black, fourth is the beast. All right. Now, jump to the next. Try to get these fast. All right. So he rides on down. This is taken from the first seal, paragraph 322. Here he is. It's the Antichrist. He started riding in the first church age. Now he rides on down and on down through every age. Watch him. He's riding. He doesn't stop. He keeps riding.
Amen.
He's riding that horse. All right. Is he coming down? It's the same rider all the time, number three. White horse. We've seen what he done perfectly. Here comes a red horse. We've seen exactly what he done. Here comes a black horse. You see the same rider all the time. What's he doing? Right on down through the ages. So now get what I was saying a while ago. He comes up riding that white horse. He gets off that horse and gets on a red one. That white horse just keeps right on going through the deception. He gets onto the red. You look around the world today over the name of religion, see how many people is being killed. Over the name of religion. And I know I'm an American. I believe in it. But we go to a country like Afghanistan or some of those countries, Iraq. We go there to free the people from bondage of their religion.
Right?
We free those women to where they don't have to wear the veils anymore. We turn them loose and let them become prostitutes on the street. Are we really good people or what are we doing? Come on.
Right.
We go to Africa and free the people. And Brother Brown said he was over there and said, not one case of venereal disease. He said, before they marry, they got to take a virginity test. Oh, we freed them to become prostitutes. I don't think you got to put a black veil over your face and drag your tracks out with a dress. No. But I think you ought to look right.
Amen.
And dress decent.
Amen.
I've always said too, plain language. Where's Sister Barbara? She said. There she is. Since her, we used to talk about these religious people. I told her one day, I said, Sister Barbara, same women, they just got their face covered. You know, you can't tell me that the face covered with a veil and the law saying if you do this or that or other, they can kill you. I don't change thinking. It's just a different veil. Right. Still doing it. Maybe not doing it out in the open, but still doing the same thing. Listen. The different stages of Satan's ministry, the rider's the same. It does not say white rider, red rider, black rider, pale rider. It doesn't say that. The man's the same. He's the devil. But when the horse comes in, it's the symbol of what he's doing. White righteous. Very deceiving. Red, killing. United what? The prophet said church and state. He couldn't go out killing. The first popes didn't go out killing. They had to wait until Constantine united church and state. And then they could take the power, because like I said, you go down here now, kill a bunch of people, well, they'll arrest you. But if you get the people behind you, they won't arrest you. You get the government behind you. Come on. See, the point I want you to see is, and some of you are catching on to what I'm trying to say, because what you're doing is, we've talked, I have with some of you, and discussed, that you're not looking back there. You're beginning to look here where we are now.
Right.
Now, that's a good idea.
Right.
It don't matter to me what has been.
Right.
That don't control me. It's what is. That's why I say that I'm against the biggest portion of the ministers of this message, because they're not preaching the prophet's message.
That's right.
They're not preaching salvation. They're preaching a book of rules.
Right.
Believe in a prophet. You don't believe the prophets, you're going to die and go to hell. If you don't believe Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. If you believe Jesus Christ, you're going to automatically be his prophet. Because you can't deny his prophet and say that Jesus Christ is true if it's God's prophet. That's sensible. See, then I don't have any worries about it. But see, look to see what we're doing now. Can you still see that rider as it's still a deception? Preachers will come in. I've seen them and you have too. They'll be just preaching along and going real good. Everything going real good. And all at once, right out of nowhere, for no uncalled for reason, as Richard says about Aaron, he gets off his one rabbit trail onto another one. That's what he said about you. Now, brother, I didn't say that. Of course, I believed it, but I didn't say that. Because it's pretty good about us preachers. We'll be going sometime, and we'll just take off and go like, yeah, well, that's not too bad. You know, that's off on a rabbit trail. Now you can come back. But what I'm talking about is these preachers, when it ain't got nothing to do with their sermon whatsoever, and right in the middle of it, have you seen that great revelation about Judah and Tamar? How that Judah had a relationship with Tamar, and it brought that seed right down. It didn't have anything to do with his message. Right? But you see, he planted his seed. You ever sat on a jury? When the lawyer gets up there and he says, so-and-so said so-and-so, and the judge says, don't. That's hearsay. You can't bring that up in court. Strike that from the record. You can't strike it out of the brains. It was the people that heard it. He got his point across. He planted the seed. After a while, he does it again and just, bam, erase that from the records. He done got his point across. That's what the preachers are doing. They preach real good, and all the ones you see them go, phew. And then he jumps back. Especially they do here sometimes. Brother one time was preaching way here, and he said something, and I was gone. I wasn't here. But I certainly heard about it. Because he was preaching away on something, and all at once the whole church went, phew. And he said, what's wrong? I say something wrong, I just tell you what the prophet said. Well, he wasn't telling what the prophet said. Then that's why everybody shut up on him. You know, they just sat down on him. I'm glad you did.
Right.
It let him know a whole lot more than what if I'd have told him he's wrong.
Right.
But you see, people get their point across. Just a little saying. All right. Then here comes the young preachers along. Right. And they're just preaching Judah and Tamar and just all these doctrines like crazy. And you say something to them about it. Well, I just preached it because Brother so-and-so was preaching it. Now you got a doctrine. Doctrine. And you say, but that ain't right. Well, who are you? You think you know everything? No, but I know somebody does.
Yeah.
But do you think you know everything? See, they're killing you then. Why? Because to kill a man's influence. Come on. Are we still in the seals? To kill a man's influence is to kill the man. You go out and kill my influence with people. Now, I've said it straight. And I mean it straight. If I'm wrong and you tell people I'm wrong, you're okay. But if I'm right and you tell people I'm wrong, you got a problem with God. Is that sensible? See, but you kill my influence, you kill me. Right? Come on, trying to bring them down, the seals and things down, the simplicity of us thinking. And you go out and won't hear nothing else. You'll be like Cain was. Cain said, paraphrasing what he said, God, I've done all I'm going to do. It's what your prophet said. He said, take it or leave it. Cain never repented. So he was saying before Almighty God, I'm not going to change. He went into a blackness that would never be removed from him. And that curse follows him and his descendants all the way through. All right. What effect? I'm asking you and me a simple question. What effect does doctrines and ideas have upon us? What about it? What effect does doctrines and ideas have upon us? Have you ever let an idea get in your mind and then you wouldn't even go to church? Maybe lay out a while or do something. Because some idea. He said, Brother Dale, you're talking about me. Brother Moat had a good point. In the military, they had a thing, you military guys know it. When you was crawling around on the ground out there and they had this barbed wire and stuff and you crawled around on it, they had a gun that was firing live ammunition. And it was right up over your head. You know, it's no problem as long as you didn't stand up.
Yeah.
Right? Because
right.
It wasn't aiming at you. See, if I say something to you and it offends you, why? What's the problem? All I ask you, is it the truth? Well, you didn't present it right. When Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, he wasn't presenting it too much right to them either, was he? The truth is truth. What kind of effect does doctrines and ideas have to do on the things you and I, what you hear? Like I've always told you, I say nothing to you about, you ask me, so can I listen to Brother So-and-so's tapes? Yes. You're welcome to listen to anybody you want to. When you bring that thing back in this church and I hear somebody start talking about it, I'm going to approach it from the pulpit and I'm going to tell you that that doctrine has no place here.
Amen.
And if you don't like it, you leave with it, because I'm going to be plain. I've tried to be honest with you to say, listen to people.
Huh?
But let the Holy Spirit. What's wrong? This is bearing on my mind. I might as well get it off, I guess. What's the matter? Why can't the Holy Spirit keep us straight?
Amen.
Come on. What's the matter with it?
Amen.
You mean you got the Holy Ghost and it can't keep you straight?
Yeah.
Why is there so much error? You mean the Holy Spirit can't keep this thing no straighter than what it is?
Right.
You mean there's 969 different denominations in the world? That was a long time ago. There's about 2,000 in this message. And the Holy Spirit can't keep it straight?
Right.
Now, there's something wrong somewhere. Plain language, old hateful dude. Somebody ain't got the Holy Ghost.
Right. Right.
Now, you got the Holy Ghost, you can't turn the word down. Right. Now, when it's first presented, you might not like it. When it's first said, you might not agree wholeheartedly. But if that Holy Ghost is inside of you, you will somewhere line back up with that word.
Right.
Me, you, or anybody. Because you can't argue with the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. You ever heard somebody preaching and you didn't know what it was? You just thought, there's just something wrong. There's just something wrong.
Yeah.
Why can't we trust him?
Right.
My wife looked at me the other day and I just broke up. She said, what's the matter with you? I said, get it. Something struck me and I knew there's something wrong. Why can't we trust him? I pray every day, God, lead me in the Word that I might not turn away. Because I know if I turn away myself and let Satan do it, I'm lost. And I'm going to hell for doing it. There won't be no rewards. I know that. And I know also that I'm not only going by myself, and I'm taking you with me. You think they ain't a burden there? You see, that's why I am so arrogant and hateful. But forgive me for that. Just look past that and say, well, he tried. You know, we had an old school teacher. You ever had them old school teachers? Man, they used to. They would just wear you out. And you do something wrong. But they didn't mind reaching and getting you. They didn't have to call home and ask mom and dad if it's all right. They knowed when they sent home words, you got it, you're going to get it again. Well, why can't we see that in the gospel? Come on, why can't we? But listen, church. You remember what we were saying, and I'll just do this because I'm about through. Carry this on over this evening. The same writer, when it was once revealed to the prophet that that was the devil, that Antichrist. See, he didn't say just the Antichrist. We say, oh, he just said Antichrist. No, he said that was the devil in a deceptive form. He knew that writer was not white and then red and then black and then pale. He knew that it was the same old devil.
Amen.
But it was different stages of his ministry. The horse would signify the other things, the bow and the arrows would signify the symbols. So he knew that that red horse rider was going to be the devil. He knew that black horse rider was going to be the devil. But as I told you there on the second seal, and it's on the third one, he said, I didn't know this until today. Didn't know what? Didn't know it was the devil? No, he knew it was the devil. He didn't know the symbols. What those symbols meant. Until that day. He didn't see all of the seals unveiled with the first one, but that's where I've always tried to get people to see it. I asked you a question many, many years ago. I said, which seal means the most to you? Some had the fourth, some had the fifth, some had the sixth, some had the seventh. I said, when that first seal broke to me, then I had something. I knew where I stood. That's the most important seal of all, is that first seal. And once you see it's the Antichrist, then from then on, it's just finding out what the symbols mean and what took place. Because it's already open to you. So you say, well, I like the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. You don't know what they are if you don't know the first one. Come on. I don't mind saying that. I've heard people preach the seals that way. They just preach here and preach there. But if that first seal don't break to you, you ain't going to know what the second one is. And when it broke about the Antichrist, that prophet knew where he was standing. Then what he wanted was for God to speak each day and tell him of symbols. Now when you get over to the fifth, we're not going to get this probably for another couple of weeks. But I've asked you to read your seal book. You're supposed to be reading the third seal now and follow on by reading the fourth. All right. But when you get to the fifth seal, there's no combat beast. But there's a key there. Because there's a little phrase in that fourth seal that you better study on. The combat beast on the fourth seal said, "Come and see." But that was not the combat beast that screamed out, "Touch not the oil and the wine." That was God Himself through the Lamb. I'm quoting Brother Branham. Maybe you'll get enough to go read it. There's your key to why there's not a fifth, sixth, and seventh. Why? Because God's come on the scene. If these seals don't bring God on the scene, then what do we need the seals for? Everybody says, "Well, what do we need them for? We don't need them." I believe we need them. But if it don't bring God on the scene, we don't have them. It'll bring God if you believe it. Come on, brothers, sister. I'll just continue on this afternoon. We'll make it part two of the third seal. We'll go on from there. But I hope you follow me for what I'm saying. Bring everything down here to where we're at. Amen. Little deceiving ideas and thoughts that we have. Brother Dale, don't you think that brother has right to believe what he wants to? Constitution says you can.
Right.
The Bible says no. Show it to me in the Bible that you got a right to believe what you want to. Come on. I'll put that thing around my neck, saw I'm a false prophet. Bring it on. Show me this Bible says that I can believe what I want to believe.
That's right.
Eve said, "I think." That's all she said, wasn't it? Come on. And it caused all this death for her one little thought. You think that we're going to go back with any of those thoughts? What about it? What we got, brother?
539
is fireable. Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit.
Little buddies had cold and things. Let's just believe and ask God to remove these things. Okay,
buddy.
Father,
that's
our Lord and Savior. We lay our hands upon our little buddies.
It's
Jesus Christ between them and these old things we call cold and sicknesses and things. Bleeding their blood. Protection and the guidance. And it is the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that'll be there in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Say to you, and I want you to take it correctly. It's not just one Sunday school class that we've had some problems with, of the children not obeying and doing correctly and following the instructions. We've had two of them. All right. So now I'm saying to your parents, don't think your goody little child is not guilty, but you need to have a talk with your kids. Because sometimes kids get too smart for their own good. We respect our elders, we respect the teachers and the things that are here. If not, we will take you to your mother and father. Right. See, kids, we do the best we can. So you do the best you can. You obey these people that are teaching you and don't argue back with them and fuss with them about something or ask them why is this or why is that. Just remember, you're a child. The teacher is the teacher. So now I speak that in love to you, children. But if there's any more, we're going to just go to mom and daddy and have a little talk. So you don't disrespect nobody. School teachers, even at school or whatever, don't do it, kids. Don't fuss and argue with a school teacher. Yeah, but that's wrong. Well, that's part of your growing. Part of your growing period. They're doing the best they can. They can try. But most of you won't do what I done. One day, we got word of something about Terrence there. And he was in the eighth grade, and the principal sent home a report. On the report, I read it, and what did I understand? It said, check student's folder. Well, I thought it meant he was in somebody else's folder looking around. That was just what I thought it meant. I called the principal, and I said, I want to know. He said, no. He said, Sam said, I found out later, said, Terrence and this boy in his class said, it wasn't too bad what they was doing. Said, probably shouldn't even have come to the office, but said, these other boys was in bad shape. And said, they were really needed to be rebuked. And said, I put them all in together and rebuked them. I said, you're welcome. Thank you. Take care of them. They need whipping. You take care of it. He said, I wish all parents was like that. But I can't do it. I said, yeah, but the only thing I thought, if he was doing something he shouldn't have done, looking in somebody else's material, then I'd take care of it. But you're taking care of it, so if you have any more trouble, let me know. and see what most of your parents would do if the principal called you up and told you your kid, "My kid don't do stuff like that." You are deceived. That's as plain as I can say it. Yeah. See, I know one thing. Kids are kids. And no matter what, they're going to be kids. And some of you ought to remember where you come from, because you was a kid at one time. And you've done a lot of things. So don't think your kids are so goody-goody. Right? Okay. There's the old dude. That's all right. You know it's all done in love and understanding. Father, we thank you for this day, and we pray that you would bless us and give us understanding of you. And we ask that what we've said is worthy of to have been said today. If not, erase it, Lord, from our minds and our thoughts. And let us dwell on one thing. We're trying to see Jesus Christ revealed unto each and every one of us in our hearts and lives, that we can walk in the day that we're living upon the earth and be what you want us to be. Because we are the ones that must be under that anointing in the end time that combats all of these things. We can't let them get upon us. We've got to stand out against it and be what you want us to be. We love you and we thank you. Be with everybody. Give us, Lord, the time that we rest, and then come back this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.